Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. With me today, as always, Sean, the Sean Boss, Ellis. How you doing tonight, sir?
David. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling like a hybrid, crazy truck machine plant buzzsaw creature.
I'm
feeling exactly like that. I know it's a little on the nose, but that's how I'm feeling tonight.
That can only mean one thing, that we watched Jace and the Wheeled Warriors.
Yeah, we sure did. Notice we didn't say we enjoyed it, but we did watch it, so that's half the battle.
Now, if you can tell that there was a deep sigh that came up, I will introduce one of our guests.
Please do.
I have a local filmmaker, Tony Lazzaroni, with me as a returning guest. Tony, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Tony. You know, thank you for having me on the show, but not so much for making me watch this Stephen Miller shit that we checked out this week.
we hear that a lot, usually from ourselves or from anybody else who happens to be on
this. This is why you don't have returning guests.
That explains so much.
Way to be a downer.
And that dulcet tone is a local stand-up comedian and improviser, Jamal Newman. Welcome, Jamal.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Please come back next time. I don't know how this is going
to
go.
I would love to be a returning guest, unlike the guy across the table. No problem. Schedule's open.
Welcome back.
That's all I'm saying. Schedule's open. You know, book me.
Hey, man, the fact that you decided to still stick around after watching this mess, that's a big
Well, more to vent.
This is what we call a support group.
Yeah. This podcast—it's
really turning into an intervention.
Yes. I was gonna say this is like our Robert Paulson moment where we just get to hug it out and just be like, I'm real sorry, guys.
Yes.
But I feel like if we've survived Jace and the Wheeled Warriors, we've probably survived anything.
I watched.
Hey, who suggested this one again?
That was me.
That was you.
Oh, he set you up for his own layup.
Yeah. Dunk it right in my fucking face.
No, it's fine. You'll do it right to me next week, I'm sure.
I was actually thinking, I was like, we have, it seems like for the next 2 weeks, we have kind of, I know we had a New Year's Nicktoons. Mm-hmm. For the next 2 weeks, it seems like we have a fortnight of nights.
Oof, we do.
Because it's a factual. We've got like 2 weeks where it's like factual. Shut up. I'm not making a joke. I'm making a point.
I was
going to
go
ass.
With a Fortnite Mare, but that's fine. We can go with
Fortnite Mare. That works even better. So,
yeah, either one.
But yeah, we've got two shows that are involved with a decent amount of royalty and some knights and people acting in a BS regal manner that nobody gives a shit about.
You know what we should do? Since you mentioned that, I didn't even think about that.
Kill
ourselves? We should what?
No, just venting.
No, just venting, recording and broadcasting and venting.
No, that's cool.
No, I was thinking we should add Arthur and the Knights of Justice or something like that.
Oh man,
or whatever that.
Yeah,
yes.
We might do that
one. Yes.
On the fly.
We know you. Yeah, you also messaged me before the show, Dave, and you brought up a good point about. Certain, there was like an aspect of this show of Jason the Wheeled Warriors that when you watched it, you were just like, oh fuck, I now want to watch Ronin Warriors. And I was just I remember that show very fondly.
Yeah. That one was very good.
Yeah, that one had a rebirth kind of in the late 90s or maybe even early 2000s when I think it was Toonami kind of brought it back around. But yeah, we'll definitely visit that one too. I don't know if we'll work into the schedule this month, but for now, talking about Knights, if you want to know how we get to that, with Jason the Wheeled Warriors. Ooh boy, we'll get to that in a second. You guys want to hear a little bit of history?
Yeah, absolutely. Just
or actually, just feel free to just like take a snooze while I go through this. For this there.
Oh no! So, Dave, fill us in on some history.
So sweet. All right, Jason, Wheeled Warriors. It is a French North American animated TV show. First broadcast on September 16th, 1985. Much like we talked about in the last episode, this had a one season, 65 episode order.
Gotta hit that 65 episode rule.
Gotta hit it. So it ran from September to December that year. That was it. It was a Deke Entertainment show.
Oh,
our friends at Deke.
Friends at Deke.
Yeah, produced by Deke, animated by all of Japan. all of Japan chipped in on this one.
Everybody chipped in one drawing.
Everybody chipped in one.
Everybody
cell.
Did one. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
That was our Japanese animation studio press representative trying to get there.
Thank you very much for doing the voice animation.
Yeah, as you might have guessed, this one was also created to support a Mattel toy line. Actually, the toys came first, and then they left it up to some poor schlub to try to slam a story together after this. I don't think they were successful having watched this show, but I feel bad for the people that had to do this. Actually,
I will say that they were successful in selling me some of these toys.
Did you buy these toys?
You own some of these?
I own some of these. They're out in my garage. I have.
Are they like growing? Are they continuing to grow like a geocat from hell?
I feel like these should be on the table right
yeah.
now. No, I mean, really I went downstairs and I was looking for some stuff, but I was sadly unsuccessful. Oh. But
I have Skeletor here.
I don't know if it's like if it's here or if it's back at my mom's house. But I own the battle base.
Really? The massive thing?
I own the whole battle base like playset thing.
Wow,
that's like, pretty crazy.
Does it like unfold?
Don't want to brag, shirt collar pull, but I am.
I'm a terrible brag.
Of all the things to brag about, I have the battle base. I'm taking the Wheel Warrior.
I don't even have G's.
I'm gonna tell you this: it 1985 that crushed with all the ladies on the playground.
Yes,
I'm sure it literally did. Yeah. It just landed on them.
Like a move in the cartoon.
I love that strategy. Get so far ahead of ourselves, but they're just like, "Hey, giant machine, crush all the other things
up,
by flattening
down.
It. Go up and then go up, down again, and that's down. The end of the show." But I do feel bad for one guy that was involved with the show by the name of J. Michael Straczynski. I originally had a plan to just kind of go off on a tangent and talk about a bit of his career, because he started by writing a spec script for He-Man. They actually loved it, and they brought him on as a staff writer, which is like unheard of, especially in this day and age. But back in the early 80s, they were like, fuck, nobody except kids is watching this, so yes, please come write for us.
They'll never know.
He did He-Man. When he didn't get a story credit on He-Man, actually, Filmation didn't want to give him on-screen credit for his writing. He left, and he went to this pile of shit. So he worked on the majority of episodes for Jace, and then went on to do a number of other things. He's done a lot of live-action TV, he's done movies, and a lot of other cartoons in the future, too. But
too bad
for that guy.
I'm glad. You know what? But I will say, like, it is a true hero's story that he's able to persevere after having lived through Jace and the Wheeled Warriors. I mean, I feel like that... you know, because everybody has like that moment. Like everybody has that moment in their life where they're just like, "Man, I gotta get out of this job. I have to aspire to bigger and better things. Like I gotta move up, or I just gotta go home and just shut up." And I feel like Jace was his like put up or shut up moment.
Well, I mean, look,
this was his shit or get off the pot.
A spec script. He had a break in with a spec script from out of nowhere that he'd sent directly to the producers, and we're like, "All right, come on and write for He-Man." And then, yeah, that's a start. Like that's a foot in the door. I mean, that's how you get your start in kind of shitty things like that. And then, you know, you got to grind through some stuff for a while, but there he is. I love, he has a quote about getting this concept pitch from the toy makers and then trying to actually turn it into something. So his quote, at least according to Wikipedia, is he wanted to hijack a dopey concept and make it into something more. Now, I don't know if he succeeded. I don't know how bad this concept started off to begin with or what he kind of like built around. But as he started to kind of get into the show a little bit more, they at least, you could tell there was at least somebody that wanted to try to write something worthwhile. They just had garbage to work with. So, kind of unfortunate. But for fans out there who are wondering, we'll talk about the show, what exactly it's about in a little bit. But because this never got renewed or picked up for multiple seasons, there was never really a finale. There was no conclusion. There was no resolution to it. But there was a movie that was planned in the vein of like Transformers, G.I. Joe, that kind of thing. So Straczynski did actually script out the movie, and I'm going to turn it over to Sean, who's going to let you know what the show's actually about, and then I'll come back with what the movie was going to be about in a second.
Okay, so the plot of Jace and the Wheeled Warriors follows Jace, Flora, Kirk, Storm Sailor.
Oh boy.
What a dick.
What a ripoff dick.
Yeah.
A real John Bobbitt right there.
Oh, my God.
The original ripoff dick.
I want to say a mixture of a Ren Faire midget and the iOS game Wind Up Night.
I don't get either one of these references. But I'll laugh.
And Gillian. And they're searching. It's that classic. This is kind of very similar to Pirates of Darkwater in the sense that, like, they are questing after Jace's father. But I just realized as I said that.
That's why I had an issue when you said that earlier.
That's what it was.
Nothing.
No, I just didn't realize that as I said that I'm a dummy and I should just be dumb.
Look, in the sense that it's like kind of an otherworldly setting, and there's some kind of like sort of mystical weirdness to the whole thing. Yes. In Pirates of Darkwater, his father shows up and the ocean sucks him back out.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious.
Which is the best scene in the whole show.
This is more like, what was it, Galaxy Rangers, that they were looking for the guys, like the Colonel's wife the whole time and never found her. And this is a very similar thing. Just
she did.
Dad. Well, she did.
She did. You don't search for 65 episodes for somebody and think that she's still going to be alive. The only reason that you search is you're just like, well, she's an attractive white woman. We got to keep a search up as long as possible.
We got to keep her on all the headlines and all the TV screens.
They could have gone for the Gone Girl ending with that one.
Oh, no. Oh, God. That would have been very weird. So anyway, so Jace's father, Audric, had the noble intent of being able to create a food source that would end hunger. And he decides that he's going to do this like in another dimension, or like out like on this like.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever really explained that.
They
were just
didn't.
Out
they threw that in,
weird.
And I was just like, well, that doesn't. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever.
So they. So he finds this research station. He's beginning to do his work. He's perfecting it. And then he gets hit with like some type of like weird space radiation. And then
there was a supernova. So there was a star that went supernova apparently, and that caused the radiation to do what?
It created all of these terrible botanical creations that I don't even know where to begin with this one. There were moments where like they introduced it and then 30 seconds later they were just like, and then we hit them with lightning and they turned into organic like vehicles, and I was just like, oh, come on, Mattel, like you gotta
just kept going on the crazy train with this one, because it starts off kind of like, all right, that's a bit of a stretch, but I'm okay with it, and then they push it so far that you're just like, what the fuck is going on in this show? What are they doing?
So they
so much crazy.
Well, I mean, they create this race called Monster Minds.
Yes.
And so they are like these plant-like extraterrestrials that morph and form into these like vehicles. And like these vehicles clearly have like these like kind of like root stem, kind of like a, what are those fish that have sort of like the lantern
angler fish?
The angler fish. Thank you.
Yeah.
Kind of like an angler fish. They kind of have like a weird tentacle on top of them that then like has whatever the dangerous weapon that particular vehicle is going to use.
It really just looks like a G.I. Joe vehicle with a Chia Pet on top. Like,
that's exactly what it is. Like the world's most dangerous Chia Pet. And, so many tentacles.
Yeah.
So many vine tentacles.
Oh, no,
it
not
clearly
enough,
came
not
from
enough
Japan.
Tentacles, if you ask me.
Some might say not enough tentacles. Mm. Yeah. So many.
That
tentacles.
Person would be Sean. He would be saying not enough tentacles.
Looking for that hentai.
Look, just always looking for those tentacles.
Definitely never rule 34 this one, by the way, because the feds might come knock down on your door.
Oof.
Yeah, so if I don't see you guys or talk to you for a while, that's where I've gone.
Wait, what is rule 34?
What?
What?
No.
Buddy.
No.
No. Oh, how do you not know this?
How about we stop saying what and oh and just...
Okay, so rule 34 is the rule 34 is the posit out there on the internet that, like, any... I want to say sexual interaction between certain cartoon characters or anything, really.
Anything at
and
all.
Anything
anime, inanimate,
and
real,
anything
unreal.
Else mm-hmm. exists.
Oh, it's...
No, it exists like in like some type of like an illustrated
I've never heard
cartoon
of this
form. Yeah, it's like
See, now we just sent him down the dirty, dirty rabbit hole because he's going to be real busy for a while.
You're going to want to open up that incognito browser later when you go.
Yeah,
home.
Fuck and
that.
Don't start
it's
with
my own
show.
Laptop. What am I hiding from myself?
Your shame.
I don't have any shame. Masturbate to a mirror. All right, so.
Hey, that's a cheap option.
Oh.
Oh man.
That actually happens in episode 5 of Jason's Real
Story. It's a real long episode.
It took four episodes to build to that. That's interesting.
That's some tantric shit.
Yeah. You think they'd lead off with that to get the viewers and then go back to the first fucking episode.
We know what kids want.
Yeah. You think you draw them in, like, hey mom, this guy's masturbating in a mirror. Can't wait to happen, see what happens next.
We should buy the toys, honey.
Yeah, we should.
We should buy their toys.
Let's immediately go to Toys R Us and let's pick
all
you up.
All the toys vibrate. Isn't that neat?
The action masturbation set from Jason the Wheeled Warriors.
Oh, look, honey, we can play together.
Yeah, oh. Oh, no.
No, they made
I love the premieres. Idea of Mattel's action masturbator. Mattel's action masturbator.
With Kung Fu Grip.
It's so weird.
Now I know why Sean bought all those toys. Okay.
Oof.
Yikes. And he can't find them, wink.
They're at his mom's house. Yeah.
Now we know what.
Oh, no.
Don't bring my mom into this. Oh, boy. All right. So Audric, Jace's dad, develops some type of a root that can actually destroy the monster minds. And from the looks of this, they're pretty much like taking over a majority of the solar system, the surrounding planets, you know, with the intent to take over the universe. And I mean, from these episodes, they're doing a pretty good job.
They're doing a real good job. I don't know the science behind it, but they've stumbled upon some fantastic science that combines like botany and space engineering and spacecraft, and they can combine
teleportation.
Teleportation, I don't know, the power of the black light, whatever that is.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a rave kind of thing, but apparently no, that's how these guys like teleport and transport their creepy vines.
Can I stop you? Because when you said the power of the black light, Sean tried to sneak a glance stare at me thinking that this was not going to get brought up, but I'm calling him out on the podcast. I don't know what the power of the black light is either, Sean.
I don't know what it is either, Jamal.
Don't look at me.
Just don't look at me.
In a perplexing way.
Was Sean looking to you for answers?
Yes, he was looking at me like, Jamal,
I'm going to look at Tony now and be like, Tony, do you have any idea what
it means? But he didn't look at Tony first.
Didn't make it to Tony, huh? He didn't make it over there.
Because I got called out.
I am pasty white.
Oh, boy. And so the idea behind this, which never gets resolved, is that Jace needs to find Audric. And so they can... they can merge these necklaces that they have.
Yeah, he like cut the root in half or some weird shit, and then was just like, here, makes, and who did he give it to? Your little buddy.
And it makes it look like a little yin yang, like, and they both have the opposite side of it.
Can I say this is two mistakes he's made now. One, instead of keeping the root completely to himself,
right,
and just not trying to save the planet, the world.
Right.
He could have the world was fine. He said, you know what, I can make it better. And then this happens, and then he cuts it in half and gives it to his friend, to his son, and now the son has to go on a journey. If he gave it to the robot, why didn't he just keep the robot and say, like, does the robot should like send it to someone, maybe?
Yeah, or just keep the whole fucking keep root the whole and root. Fight like, another why, day. What are you doing?
Just like he's making
why'd you abandon your son to begin with, too? That's a whole other thing. Like, where the hell was he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, this whole show.
You know, if I've learned one thing from a lot of these cartoons is that space dads are shitty dads.
Space dads are shitty dads.
They're always just like, oh, I got a jetpack or spaceship out of here. And you're just like, Dad, no. And they never call.
The first thing I thought when I saw Jace was, is this Rogue's brother?
Yeah, you know what? He's got...
is this her long-lost brother we haven't seen?
I thought it was... I thought Jace grew up to be John Henson from Talk Soup.
Nice.
He grew up with that little skunk spot there.
That was one of those things that looked. It reminded me of Thundercats. Like there are so many little things in this show that are just. It's like you tried to take pop culture at that point in time, stick it into a blender, and come out with something, but you just didn't leave the blender on long enough. So there's large fragments of things that are just completely
just chunky stuff floating around. Yeah. No, I mean definitely the little. What's the little knight's name?
I did describe him as Wind Up Knight and Midget at a Ren Fair, but his name is Oon, and that's O-O-N.
And he's basically just, it's Orko, right, from He-Man? was the little floating wizard that
Yeah, but like as a around. But as an annoying ground-bound knight.
Ground-bound.
Yeah. Well, ground-bound knight. And you've got Herc Stormsailor, who is basically Han Solo and Luke Skywalker 110%. Wrapped into one guy.
Yeah.
And like King Midas, a little bit of King Midas.
Yeah.
Just for
shits and giggles.
But like, okay, so I'm curious, like, what do you think? Because I mean, this show is clearly poaching from everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think this show Matchbox cars were popular at this time.
G.I. Joes
were popular at this time. Transformers were popular at this time. Like,
what
you
was
know,
the little
Star Wars
reference to?
Just annoying, like annoying little sisters.
Kelly,
are you listening?
She made the show relatable.
She was the ground. Like,
she grounded it.
She grounded it.
She grounded the show. She was a plant, by the way.
Yeah.
She's a fucking plant.
She's a fucking plant.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's not like Jace's sister or like any other kind of like human being character on the show. She's a plant. She's a psychic plant girl. Mm-hmm.
Who has a flying fish.
Yeah, which is never explained.
Yeah,
flying fish with a seatbelt just like grown into its back.
I'm gonna say though, like,
what you gonna say?
I want a flying fish now after watching this. Like,
who
does? There wasn't a part of me that was just like, why don't I have a flying fish like right now? Like,
I want a ground-based magnetic held together robot.
I don't want that flying fish. And I'm gonna bring this back because last time I was on, I wound up talking about Foley and sound effects and stuff like that. The fish, its noise that it makes, it started out chirping like a bird, and then the second episode was just these little muffled sounds, by the time we got to the third episode, it is basically two balloons being rubbed together. It's the sound that they were getting for the sounds.
That's exactly what
There are whole lines of dialogue for this fish trying to explain what's going on.
It's the Lassie character.
It's like, Timmy,
what? Chase is where?
I can just imagine some guy in the sound booth just vigorously rubbing two balloons together.
Yeah. And then he goes, yeah, that's good. That's a good take.
No, I need more anger. Can you give me just a little more anger?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What a name for a flying fish, though. Brock. It's probably like the toughest name on this show. That's a fucking flying fish. Everybody else
should
like
have just called the fish
Laura.
Like Muscles McPunch. And like, be like, yeah, fuck it, that's perfect.
No, that's Street Sharks.
That was Street Sharks. Muscles McPunch. I tried to forget about that show. Oh, bringing it back.
Oh, it's the reason I drink. I can forget about that show.
Oh.
But yeah, so I mean, you have we talked about Jace. You know, just to jump.
I mean, kind of. We just talked about his
hair, I mean, to jump
really,
into the characters, like Jace, this is really a story of trying to get a petulant, just asshole to.
He's a kid. He's a teenage kid.
Yeah.
He's
spoiled. But kids are assholes. Like he is a petulant child who's trying to come into his own without his father, without his guidance, and so like you know
he's Luke Skywalker.
He's trying to build and understand what it is to become a man, but the way you're introduced to him, there are like these moments where he's just like, Gillian, make a space barge, and Gillian's like, I don't know where you fucking think I'm gonna get these parts, asshole. Like,
you're a wizard, right?
Yeah, wizard. He fucking wands it out of the sky.
He's like, you made all
but
these.
But I want to go to Taji Station and get some power converters.
Exactly.
That's I waited for him to say that line because he was just straight out of Star Wars.
I mean, there's just a lot of moments where he's just he's very entitled. You know, he wants these things and he wants them now. He wants to understand how some of the things that like his father would have used in order to combat the monster minds, are now his. And this is I wrote this line down because this is probably my favorite line, is that Gillian has just told him that one of the vehicles called Armed Force.
Right.
It's the main vehicle.
It's the main
vehicle.
The main
one.
Yes.
The hero vehicle.
Yes. Preferred vehicle.
Yep.
It's called Armed Force.
Armed Force. Yep. So Armed Force now belongs to Jace, and this is communicated to him from Gillian, and Jace just goes, mine. Armed Force is mine. Like he had just figured out what the fuck like the definition for mine is. Like it was the first, like he had just learned that word and he was like,
it was like his ever possession.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my god, it's mine.
I own property.
Oh god. It was just yes.
Well, now here's my favorite part, and I want to talk about Gillian too before we get too far away from the characters, but just to give you an idea of like Jace's kind of mindset, yes, Gillian, who's kind of like his protector, his mentor.
Oh, you're referring to Merlin MacGyver.
Yeah, or you know, Ben Kenobi, whatever you want to call him. I mean, he's just that character. So he's the old, magically powerful mentor character. So whatever you want to call him, because he's just pretty much stock at this point. But I love the fact he gives Jace armed force. So he gives him this car, this like souped up hot rod war vehicle. The first thing Jace does almost runs him the fuck over when he takes the sticker and joyride. And he's just like, whoa! I love that, though, that he was just like, yeah, fuck yeah, get out of the way! And just runs him down. So that gives you an idea of Jace's kind of mindset at this point. Yeah, we've talked about... Oh, so we don't know a whole lot about Audric.
Well,
yeah.
I do want to say one of the things that we missed about Jace is that he has this ring of light.
Don't even get me started on this ring.
He has this ring of light, and it is his get out of jail free card.
It's Deus Ex
Machina. Yeah, it's exactly a Deus Ex Machina.
I mean, every time, like, so the whole thing is that like this ring was given to like a group of people called the Lightning League, which of like course. Man, what a great name.
It was an arena football team.
Gave the Justice League a run for its money.
Yeah, that's right.
And what was it? The ring that he has is I guess like the ring of leadership.
Sure.
And so he says it in the pilot episode. He's like, I have the ring of leadership. It was like, oh my god, like you're just getting, this is like Christmas for you. You were just hand over fist getting, like you're getting battle things, like you're getting like nice bling,
he's got
like
a squadron. He's not got a ring.
Squad's on point, like you know, this is, like, you know, everything's like ready. Everything's fire. Everything's coming up, Jace. At this point, like I mean, it's pretty cool. So
yeah, just get a little bit of hair dye, and he's good to go.
Yeah, no god. But you know, so we should say like the person who is funneling all of this material possessions to Jace is Gillian, right. this wizard, and so he is like, he's just kind of like
Merlin Kenobi MacGyver. Yes, like Danny said. Yeah.
But Dave, I believe you were mentioning like we don't really know that much about Audric. We kind of only see him like in a couple flashbacks.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is. And it I like the way that they did the flashback actually. So the whole series kind of starts off with Oon. So it starts off with this little knight character, this little robot knight character, and the monster minds are chasing him. Well, Oon eventually kind of like crash lands into the midst of Jace and Gillian and the other ones, and he just kind of like flies apart. Well, they put him back together, and Oon starts to tell the story, and then Gillian kind of touches him and touches his head.
So he tells, he's shows, like telling the story like through onomatopoeia. He's like, so,
yeah,
boom,
been a little,
and then a bang,
yeah,
and then I'm like,
this
oh,
little
yeah,
energetic asshole.
Yeah.
But then they come back and they have like a nice little exposition sequence where they tell the audience, okay, here's our origin story. Here's what happened. And that's when they show Audric and his creation of the Monster Minds, his inadvertent creation of the Monster Minds, which look like, if you guys are familiar with like Dragon Ball Z, they look like the Cybermen characters, like the little plant creatures with the big cabbage heads.
Yeah.
And the snake eyes and yeah.
Yeah, like the clawed hands and all that kind of stuff before they turn into vehicle plant things, which I still don't understand, but whatever.
And they have spinning saws, which is
yeah.
Yeah, wheels and spinning saws, which is not things you tend to find in nature. What are you gonna do? This is Jason the Wheeled Warriors.
I really think that I think the toys were designed just by somebody that like left the G.I. Joe vehicle sitting on the counter and then knocked their plant over on top of it.
And they're like, wait a minute, don't move anything.
Yeah, right. It was probably like one of their kids playing with the thing and they left it out in the rain in like a patch of dirt somewhere and it started sprouting flowers. Yeah.
No one touch anything.
This could be a thing.
Get an artist.
That's $5 million idea.
Yeah,
you did not work surprisingly.
I feel like somebody left like what is it sell... the G.I. Joe like the Sergeant Slaughter vehicle.
Oh yeah,
like the camo, the yeah, camo netting exactly. Or whatever.
Like they
no,
left...
this is if you took Swamp Thing and gave him the powers of Turbo Team. That is the show. No one ever asked for that, but we got it thanks to Jason the Wheeled Warriors.
Money.
Cool.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. Do we want to talk about the actual episodes now, or do you want to?
Well, I mean, so we mentioned Flora, who is like
yes,
part plant. We mentioned Herc Storm Sailor as being like the
all Han Solo,
just all Han Solo through and through and through.
I mean, even down to the point that he shows up at this place with a more or less a cargo ship, and then rescues the old man, the wannabe warrior, and his goofy sidekicks.
Yeah.
Like it's straight out of Star Wars.
So I mean, you know, I don't know if we want to get into the monster mines.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I ever got from that was Saw Boss, and I had to look it up to go, it can't really be Saw, it's fucking Saw Boss. Okay, that's his name. The other thing I wanted to jump into, if we can, before, is just the art style on this.
Sure.
I did not believe the performance of any of these cartoon actors, because in every single scene, no matter what perilous thing was going on,
calm.
They all have this, they have this Mona Lisa smile going on all the time.
Super calm.
I think my favorite one was in the third episode, where there's a part where, and I'm ruining it for you, but it's okay.
No, don't worry.
You're ruining it.
The show ruined everything.
We're saving you.
But he, so Herc Storm Sailor is flying away, and they've left Gillian kind of trapped, and everybody else is like, no, we need to go back. And Herc just kind of looks straight ahead, and he goes, no, kid, he's gone. And he's got this sly little smile on his face, and then the camera slowly pulls in as if we're looking for emotion in there. And it's just kind of like, yep, I'm right.
Not gonna tell you what, from that exact same episode and almost the exact same scene.
So
there's a part where who is it? It's Jace and Flora, and they're back kind of like on the ground still before they get up with her. And Gillian has just disappeared, and Saw Boss actually teleports his entire kind of technodrome looking thing. He teleports right to where they are, okay?
Yep.
So he's the big bad, and they've gotta defeat him at some point, but they gotta get their dad first, find the other half of the root. What the fuck, whatever. So Saw Boss shows up, and Flora's like, oh my god, Saw Boss is here. And Jace just kind of looks at her, and he's just like, well, we should probably get back to the ship. Like, no fucking, no reaction, no emotion, no concern. He's just like, oh, how about that? Well, we should get back to the ship. I think he literally says, well, anyway.
Not like, with your sensory powers. Let's get on with the ship.
Moving along.
But yeah, Saw Boss is, I don't know. How do you feel about him? I kind of want to hear how people feel about Saw Boss.
His
style, does he have the style, you know?
I mean, he has no reasoning for anything. Mm-hmm. He's just a bad-to-be-bad type character. You know, I don't understand why he wants to destroy everybody.
True.
But, you know, that's the thing with cartoons. There was kind of an implicit understanding that the bad guy is bad and the good guys are good.
I actually prefer a bad guy who just wants to kill everything and has no reasoning. Just
really?
Wants to destroy, like the Joker.
Okay.
I prefer that bad guy. That way it's easier to hate him.
Yeah.
Once he starts getting to like principles, then it's like, oh, he's kind of human. Something to be.
And then
human.
Just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
Or just smother it with vines. You know, either
and
one.
Then throw a match.
I think my favorite part very early on about Saw Boss was that, like, so when they're following I keep wanting to say Wind Up Night, when they're following Un, and he like crash lands in there, and then all of the other masterminds are like kind of swarming, you know, like the bubble that they're in, and they're just like
the bubble of light that only lets good in and keeps evil out, because that's how this works.
Then how does hairstyle get in?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're gonna hate about. That's what your fashion choices in this show are. What you're gonna show.
I noticed right away. I was like, did like they model all the outfits after like a concert for Prince? Because all of these characters are wearing this androgynous clothing.
I was actually noticing. So Sean has a Skeletor that hangs out in here when we're recording this, and I was noticing that the outfit that Skeletor is wearing is basically the exact same thing that Saw Boss is wearing.
Oh yeah,
it's kind of like it's
looks
like
an S&M chic.
It's an S&M like, you know, strappy gimp suit. Like,
yeah, there's a lot ported over from He-Man. I mean, just character wise, story wise. Yeah, maybe not the artistic style-wise, but yeah, there's a lot of it kind of ported over. It's a weird blend of just everything from the early 80s.
Because, I mean, like, because Tony and I were talking about this earlier, we were just like, so this came out in 85, so, like, production probably went into place around, like, 83.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
which
when
was
they
right
were...
when G.I. Joe was doing its first initial run was in 83. Yeah, because, I mean, these things, as terrible as the animation is, it takes a while to put that together back then.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't, especially 65 episodes worth, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have South Park's method of turning it around in 6 days. Everything's done over a long, long haul. And I'm trying to figure out where the American-French thing was, if this was done kind of in both languages simultaneously. So it has the... Because there were some things in there that just felt like...
Like the voice tracking?
Like, yeah, like the voice tracking was just forced English dialogue over what was probably like an original French line. Probably. You know, it feels like anime like that.
There was a cutaway, one of the episodes, I think it was the third one, where it was like this extended pause, and I was like, what?
It was just an extended pause,
and then the camera shot in, and then shot back out. I was like, what was that? What was that for? Maybe it was for the dialogue.
There was a French language version of the show, and it was titled Jace and the Conquerors of Light. So that was the French version.
The title's better.
Until you think about it, you're like, wait a minute, why would you want to conquer light? Unless...
Honestly, when I heard Wheeled Warriors, without sight unseen on this show, I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be about a bunch of guys in wheelchairs.
Yep.
Because it sounded like one of those like early '90s type, just
like a rollerball team
empowerment shows.
I think the only wheelchair character we've talked about so far has been from Extreme Ghostbusters, and that's actually really disappointing. That's it.
I feel like there's more.
Yeah, I just don't think we've talked about them. We've gotten to the shows.
I'm looking forward to getting to those shows.
I mean, Professor X is like obviously the most famous one I can think of, but that's it. Is there one in Rocket Power, that Nicktoon, that we might talk about next year?
I'm gonna say maybe. Yeah. I feel like that's what. I mean, if he's not a main character, then I feel like it's one of those like PSA lessons learned not to be a dick to people episodes.
Ooh, it might be.
Which is fine.
Jace has a drug episode.
You don't think so?
The whole thing is a drug episode.
Well, I mean, like, I think
that second episode was kind of a drug episode. Yeah. With the helmet that he had to try and resist.
Yeah, the helmet was talking to him like drugs talk to a user, like heroin calls to you.
Yeah, I'm too tired. Yes, too tired to resist. Finally,
once I have your body.
Yeah. So Sean and I were talking offline, but I think this helmet is possessed by the ghost of a rapist.
It really was creepy.
And just constant. Man, he would not give up.
When he turned around to look at Oon, when he came in on him in the middle of the night when he was about to put the helmet on, like that look on in his eye, it was very much like, I'm gonna fuck your little helmet off.
Yeah,
get it.
And then later in the episode, he does in front of a mirror. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing.
Dave with a callback.
Yeah, I try. I'm learning from Sean here.
You're doing it. You're doing a good job, bud.
Doing it. Well, that's good. I keep paying you so
get
much.
It. Getting it. Get it. Get it. Yeah. So I guess just in terms of, because these monster minds are just, so we should just say that they are like these organic, so like Saw Boss is really the only one that you see consistently in like sort of a humanoid form.
Yeah, and not getting murdered constantly, because the rest of them are just blown up left and right.
Yeah, which is actually weird, because like when I watched this, I was like, oh God, like do they each have... like different personalities, like are they?
That's
actual,
what I thought.
Are they actual like consistent things that come like episode to episode? And I was like, if so, that means there's only like he's only got like a battle force of like five or six guys. Like,
so I read up on this, and supposedly I spent some time actually reading about the show. I found out that apparently in later episodes, in later episodes they explain that basically each one of the other guys, the baddies, they have the ability to basically clone themselves multiple times over, but only operate just in the vehicle form there. So there is because in the last episode there is a scene where you see one of the other guys in like its walking around humanoid form.
Right.
But then you see him as a vehicle on like the other planet, you know, however many light years away.
Oh, okay.
And so it's the idea that but each of them only controls their clone type.
Mm.
So It's still the five guys kind of supporting Saw Boss, but they're all idiots. And so they crash into one another and they, you know, get out of my way and bump it. You know, it's a big cockfight between a bunch of, you know, idiot vehicles.
Yeah, it's another example of a show where it's not because the heroes are so clever and so good at their job. It's because the villains are terrible and they can't get along. together. So they end up defeating themselves most times, and the good guys are just there to get in the way enough to prevent anything bad from happening.
So it, so in this first episode, there's this moment where Un has just like crashed into this bubble of light.
And, yeah, and this one's called Escape from the Garden of Evil.
Yes. Yes. So, just ripping off the Bible now too. Sharks. So they so Un crashes in and Jace puts them together. You get the backstory and the masterminds are outside and are just like, we can't find him, boss. And so Saw Boss is just like, he's like, guess I'll have to do everything myself. And so he like he telepathically like scans the area. And there's a I just want to pause and just say, there's a giant fucking bubble of light in the middle of your fucking planet,
and
you dumb dumb.
Through, and that keeps blowing up your cars when they land.
And, he just
take notice of.
He literally just goes, stop. This is where they must be. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Yeah, in the most goddamn obvious place in the fucking world, you idiot. Like,
well, that just shows how retarded the rest of them are if he has to stop and be like, okay, guys, let's focus here. They're probably in that light bubble thing.
I was losing my mind when I said that. I'm like, oh my god, the people that you're searching for, they're in a bubble in the middle of your planet. You have tentacles that are, you have vines that are growing over top of this bubble.
Yeah, can't you feel it?
Yeah,
can't
like
you sense it? You literally are the planet.
This is poor human resources.
Like, there is no logic to the show whatsoever. We've got skunk-haired teenagers that are just given like all these crazy powers. We've got plant creature humanoids that turn into vehicles with spinning blades at the drop of a hat. I really want to focus on this ring of his.
Yeah, because, let's get into this garbage.
I mean, pick one of your favorite powers that it has because it can do anything.
turning him into a playing card that flies around.
Oh my god, that cracked me up to no end. Set that up for the people because it's hilarious when it happens, but there's a reason, like, it makes it even more absurd. It's just, like, the way he gets into that.
And it's just, like, use your power ring, and he's like, okay, ring! And, like, I don't even know what he says, but he just says the name of the ring.
Yeah.
And he all of a sudden, like, morphs into this... He looks like Han Solo frozen in carbonite.
Yeah, frozen in carbonite, exactly.
And just starts... whipping around this and just chopping through all the vines, because that's the only method of retaining anything in this show that they have is these green vines that just grow out and snatch on something. Yeah,
there was like 2 seconds where I was like, wait, are they selling me vehicles or is this a card game?
Is this now a card game?
What is this right now? Like, what am I buying? Just take my money.
Jace?
Yeah. Wait, was this the first Yu-Gi-Oh? Is that what we're going with this one?
He's the most powerful monster.
Oh, God. No, Jace. that one was great. And you know, it's just... It is such a deus ex machina just because it just fucking pulls this ring out at the last second in every single episode, and it's the thing that saves everybody.
Well, look, and this one was like he was falling from a height. I forget exactly why that happened, but he was falling to the ground. He was going to die. Nobody else was going to save him.
He was in the blaster. Vehicles. The only time we ever actually see a blaster hit anything in this entire goddamn show
Exactly.
is one of the bad guys manages to hit the little blaster thing that he pops out the top of the ship with. And so it blows up the front of it, and then he swings the door open and just, like, dives out the side.
And he's got 4 other vehicles at this point that none of them can save him. He's got a wizard on the ground. He's got a pilot elsewhere.
And he's far.
But now he goes to his range.
He's apparently far enough above the ground that he can have a complete conversation with somebody before he hits the bottom
going, you
should use your power ring. Oh, right. Go, ring.
And then turns me into a baseball card. What a fucking... Of all the things for that thing to do.
Can we please read the stats on the back of that card?
I'd love to.
Intelligence minus 10. Strength 2.
What the hell else does it do, though? Like, even in the intro, we didn't really talk about the intro of this one, but even in the intro, they show him using that ring for something completely different. Do you remember that part?
No,
I didn't see that one.
Okay, so it's like this chase between the two sets of vehicles, and Jace is in his armed force, and he's about to get stomped on by one of the Monster Mind's bigger vehicles. And he's just like, well, fuck. And he just points the ring at this thing, and it shoots out this beam of white light that just completely flips the giant monster vehicle over and keeps it from crushing him. So it's also got that power, apparently. So we got baseball card, and we've got, like, laser cannon.
And so in the first episode, Gillian basically is the one that causes this to be a deus ex machina out of all this. Because the one thing he says to him is that, we should not fight unless you're absolutely forced to.
And I'm like,
but you have the fucking trump card.
Which, again, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Jedi code is now in order for Jace.
But, But it's like you have the trump card that can beat fucking everything every single time, and you wind up using it all the time. Why don't you just take care of him one time? I mean,
not even that. I would just been like, "Hey, Ring, take me to my dad."
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Ring, get my derelict dad over here immediately.
Or Saw Boss is here. Give me the other half of the root right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Send it to me.
Yeah. Or hey, guess what, Ring? If you can do shit like turn me into a sharp edged baseball card that flies through vines. How about you just destroy these fuckers?
Yeah.
We don't need a root. Nobody needs a root.
Do you think he turned into, like, was it an upper deck, a Donruss, or like a Fleer card?
I'm gonna say or like tops. Wasn't tops? It's gotta be tops. Tops. Right. It's gotta be like a lower level.
It makes sense that it would have a shitty piece of gum with it.
Yeah. Bazooka Joe.
Bazooka Joe shit. But yeah,
what else did it do though? Weren't there other powers?
If you're given an ancient evil helmet, it'll stave off evil.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. It'll separate you from the evil, and it'll make that evil stronger. Apparently, that was fun.
I mean, like for like a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until it falls apart. Yeah.
And it will also apparently cause earthquakes.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. That was my last.
Which was
trick.
Like a cop out in the last episode. Yep. Oh my god! I was like, oh, they're actually gonna fight, maybe. Nope.
Yeah, it's earthquake time.
It's time to get out of here. Let me teleport.
Now I do love that though, because Saw Boss is just like, oh, the earth appears to be shaking a bit. Let's get the fuck out.
Yeah.
What the hell? Of all the things you did, you teleported the Technodrome here. You outnumber them. You got everything here.
I did love the little transport effect for the Technodrome thing. When it flies, it looked like it was pulled straight from like Austin Powers style, you know, completely 70s psychedelic.
Just missing.
That's all these little swirling, brightly colored lines, and then just boom, it's gone.
I gotta turn this back over to Jamal now because he mentioned it at our intro. This is the power of the blacklight, and I want to hear his 2 cents on this.
I don't know what the power of the blacklight is.
Oh, I thought you had a theory.
It's not like a blacklight where you go to a party and you turn on a blacklight and you see how much stuff shows you all the disgustingness that's in your hotel room at a Marriott.
I'm not inviting these roots here anymore.
John, you gotta be careful with these brand names. You're never gonna get a sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Disappointment.
Available each and every week here on Saturday Morning Cartoon. This show was. I didn't have high hopes because I had no clue what was going on. And honestly, from the intro, I knew it was just going to be a complete mess. So I was just looking for, just looking for a good time. And I somehow watched an hour and a half of this series.
Did you just equate the show to picking up a hooker?
Yeah. I'm just looking for a good time, Chase.
All right. Hour and a half later, you want any more? Nah. I'm good. I'm good. How much do I owe you?
Yeah.
Can I just pay to leave?
My favorite part of this was in the second episode where he's melting. They're like in that heat ramp.
Yes,
and
okay.
Melting, right?
Okay.
He's standing there, and there's a back and forth of the camera towards the thing coming down, and Jace and the girl standing there for like a good.
No, it's Oon. It's Oon.
Oon. Right Oon. Okay. Oon. They're standing Oon. There, and it's just a back and forth, like looking at the at the thing coming down, looking at the thing.
Like
then
again,
no fear on the
no
face.
No fear
just
whatsoever.
Odd little sublime smile.
And then at the last minute, he's like, all right, let's go. Like,
but that was the point that Han Solo Storm Sailor uses the little drilling car from
the drill car
battle fleet whatever
battle so, the hell show are you watching
breaks in gets them they leave
yeah
and then when they're leaving he's grabbing all the pots okay when they're dragging that I'm like
yes.
Come on this looks ridiculous
that was hysterical.
So far I've like on this planet which I don't believe they specify what the planet is but the only thing that I can think or imagine is that the pottery that is made on this planet is like fucking indestructible. Like they are dropping it in wheelbarrows down a hole.
Yeah.
And like they get to like Jace falls into that hole at some point in the episode and he wakes up and he's just like, oh, and like there's just a mountain of unbroken fucking pots that are there. And then Herc drags a couple of those like gold pots back behind his vehicle because
he's
just like
a couple. He's got a fucking neck full.
Yeah, he's got a butt ton. Yeah, of fucking pots.
It's a cargo net full, and he's like pounding on the dashboard, like, "Come on, hurry the fuck up!"
Yeah,
and I'm
like
"You're dragging
metric
tons behind you."
Yeah,
like, and they are in perfect condition.
And Jace, they're about to leave with Jace, Jace looks at him when he's getting in the car and goes, "Come on, Herc, that's enough."
Shut up, Bob.
He's like, "I've allowed this to go on long enough.
I just
saved
point
me
out,
already."
I just want to point out that Herc and his affinity for gold is, it's like Cookie Monster with cookies.
It really is. You don't know what he wants to do with it. He just wants it.
He just ignores the conversation until somebody's like, "Gold." He's like, "Gold?
Let's go back then."
He's Monterey Jack from Rescue Rangers with cheese.
Thank you so much.
Like,
I was just about to say that.
Cheese?
Or what was the stuffed thing that Uncle Joey has on the
woodchuck.
Yeah.
Little
silent song. Rub?
Was that patented of girl?
I wish that would have been Herc's voice the entire time. It should have been amazing.
He actually the voice artist who did Herc, it reminded me of whoever the main villain was for Cops.
Really, Big Boss?
Yeah, there was the moments where like where he kind of had like a Big Boss thing for like 30 seconds.
Every once in a while,
I was just like, somebody should really be doing a little bit better of a job of minding the P's and Q's in terms of these voice actors, like, because they're just changing.
I'll tell you what though, the mid '80s, what a great time to be in animation.
I feel like, you know, who was the writer that you mentioned had like submitted?
Michael Straczynski.
So I feel like Straczynski was just like, "Here is a He-Man script, and I have like a hatchback full of cocaine."
Exactly.
And people were just like, "You're in. Come on." How do you feel about G.I. Joe? How do you feel about Transformers?
He produced 12 episodes.
12 episodes. Why don't we just make it 65?
Like,
full season. Give him a full season.
I gotta tell you this might be my favorite fact of the podcast. The drill car that you guys were talking about before, Sean?
Yes.
It's named Drill Sergeant, by the way.
That's right. Wow.
They're all horrible puns, because
Armed Force is the little like crane that's on. Like,
It's just got this little crane thing on the top.
Okay, can I tell you, I'm gonna confess something. Every time Armed Force grappled with that snake Snapdragon, Venus flytrap looking thing, I cringed a little. Sock puppet looking green thing. I cringed a little bit because it just looked so. There was something about it that was very painful. I don't know what it was, but it was very disturbing to me.
Well, you drive these two vehicles that obviously are armed up with like cannons on either side, and you let them get physically close enough that you could actually reach over and grab the other one,
and then just flip it over your head.
There was one where one of the vehicles is driving along, and it very obviously has two little cannons on either side of it.
Right.
But it gets to a point where it needs to shoot something, and this little porthole door opens up in the front, and another cannon sticks out the middle, and that's the one that shoots. And I'm like, "What the fuck's wrong with the other
two? You can't just use your good ammo on anything. You gotta save those shells."
I love the decoy. You know, the decoy ones on the side. Actually, if you watch in the intro too, when Flora's driving one of them along, like, this weird side door opens, a little like rocket-powered laser shoots out, and you think it's gonna like go after one of the other cars and like blow something up or home in and blow something up. No, it just goes to the roof of her car and just sits there and just like reattaches to the roof of her car. I'm just like, who the fuck designed this?
With the hope and intention that it would blow her up.
Well, if it's to be believed, Gillian designed it because he can build anything.
That's true. He did build the original vehicles.
You know,
they're powered by light.
I do want to say, like, for a little bit of a wizard, he's also like a significant trickster.
He's a shyster.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's an absolute shyster.
Like, nonstop.
And he pulls
like
a Gandalf in one of the episodes too, which I didn't see coming. But
good thing I remembered that spell.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's a Cobalt 49. Perfect specimen. Talk about the trickster.
No, but I mean, like, a lot of the way that they kind of get on board with Herc. The way that they get on board with Herc Stormsailor is that Gillian like waves a magic wand and pulls his carrier down into their bubble of light. I can't believe I'm saying this over and over again.
Yeah, yep. He said that out loud.
And then he gives him he gives Herc the peace that he needs out of like the goodness of his heart. And then
he needs something to fix his ship.
Right. And then immediately they're just like, Jace in a very, again, in like a very childish manner, he just blurts out, he goes, "Take us with you." It was so awkward. It's stifled. It's almost like a child like sitting there like in a kitchen and just like, "I want a cookie." And you're just like, "Yeah, I'll get you the
cookie. Okay,
just,
we'll get you the cookie.
If the just price is right, I'll get you the fucking cookies."
Like,
for a room full of gold.
But Gillian like lies and says that he has like this entire room of gold, and he has magically turned lead into like a gold like substance.
He's
an alchemist.
Yeah, they use it twice. They
use it over and over again.
This is a little bit
off the mark, but going back, there's a sequence where Jace gets out of Arm Force. He's being chased. He gets out of Arm Force and is now running fast enough to outrun one of the roots, and he slides down the hill, and they both come around the corner, and he shoots him with the rocket. He's like, "Oh, I gotta make this count."
Doesn't even hit him.
Hits the ground around them,
and
that does the trick apparently. But I was like, "Wait, you're running now? You're running faster than?"
I feel like the cars are probably, they go about the speed of like a Rascal scooter. So it's just like, it looks really good because they're all moving at the same speed.
Okay.
But if you actually just get out and run, it's much more efficient.
Especially the giant walking one.
Yeah, right. The AT-AT.
So I want to talk about one of the monster minds, the design of the character. It specifically looks like a beat up pickup truck. And it is all of them.
The old style one that has the eye.
Yes.
That has the eye headlights.
Like that's exactly what it looks kind of like the truck from Cars.
Yeah.
Like, but like it. So everybody else has like these kind of like the eyes, or at least like where you would think that these monster minds are. Where they're looking, or like where they're. Because like the Buzzsaw one kind of has like those, like it kind of looks like a lightning bolt down like the front, like as eyes and stuff. Like, so where you perceive there to be eyes on a lot of these monster mind vehicles, this like old style like pickup truck one has like the saddest like Eeyore looking eyes. It's just like, he's like, "Guys, I don't want to really be here.
And there's a couple times
I don't want to really do this job. I'm just I just want to go home and just
I
nap."
Barely
there's a couple times when he gets beat and his eyes turn red as if he's been high.
or he's just crying. Crying the entire time.
Oh god.
One of my favorite parts, I think, from these episodes was the way that they tried to end each episode.
The
flattest, like forced humor.
Yeah.
And, like, they'd say something just like so stupid and everybody would just crack up, and it was just so painful. Unfortunately, I lost all my notes, so I can't remember
any of
this.
Before you say it,
okay.
You're gonna say it. And then we're going to react like they do on the show.
Okay.
That sounds great. This is going to be great.
Is his name Herc? What's his name again?
Yeah, Herc.
Herc. Okay. They're flying off.
Whatever you want to call it.
Whatever. They're flying, they're flying away. And they go, "Oh, the next stop is a mountain full of gold." And he goes, "I'm done off gold."
Oh, you.
And then
I'm so lonely.
But then he goes, "Did you say a mountain?" "I guess we could check it out."
That's what
they do. They're like, "Oh."
Every time.
I feel like it needs to end with like a little like piano interlude. Like,
well, they had to end with something because it wasn't actually getting any kind of life lessons or anything like that from this damn show.
Which I appreciate that they didn't try to force that.
Oh, no, I dare say they did with one specific line. In the episode with the suit of armor that like overtakes him, and they're like, you shouldn't go after the helmet, and he's like, "But I really want to go after this helmet and go find it." And it's like, "I don't think it's a very good idea." And so while Gillian's asleep, he goes to Herc and he's like, "All right, we're going after the helmet." And Herc's like, "Okay." And then Gillian wakes up and comes in, and they're like, And what's the kid's name?
Flora.
Flora?
No, 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 the guy. I'm forgetting the
name. Chase?
Chase, thank you.
That's how great the show is.
No, no, no,
Tony,
great.
Tony and the Wheeled Warriors.
What's it called? Herc and the Wheel... Whatever?
Anyway, so... But he turns back to him and he goes, "No, Gillian, we can turn back if you think we should now." And Gillian says something. He says, "Nope. Once the first step has been taken, the journey must be completed." No,
which is
quit anything if it's a terrible
which
idea.
That sounded like every pedophile's credo.
Oh no!
Once the journey's been taken, we must complete it. We can't just not touch. We have to go forward.
We're already there. You gotta see where this goes.
I already thought he was kind of pedophile-y, but when he said that, I was like, "Yep, confirmed."
Yep.
Confirmed.
Well, he did. I mean, Flora was one of his creations. It was his and what's his name, Aldrich? Whatever. Who cares at this point? It was Flora was
Aldrich.
Their
Aldrich.
Creation.
I forgot the main character whose name is in the series, so I'm not faulting you at all.
Do you guys have anything else from this shit show? Anything else you want to talk about? I think we covered most of it.
The most nostalgic moment was second episode again, when they're running away, and then the net gets caught, and they're driving, and it's just clearly you could shoot this guy. And no one's being shot. I was like, yeah, these are the cartoons back then.
He's
yeah.
literally like the definition of fish in a barrel at that point. Like, it is a car in a narrow alley that is anchored by pots of gold.
And then he's like, goodbye, gold.
Yeah, right. Poor guy. I hope Herc gets his gold. I'm not going to watch the show to find out. But
yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, this would be like the worst torture in like Guantanamo. Like you guys are watching Jason the Wheel War. No, not
Jason
again.
Luke.
Not again. Please.
Not
I would tell you. Just don't make me watch. What is Gillian? He reminds me of my uncle. I cannot watch again.
So I'm going to go to Jamal to ask if he recommends this one right after that.
Okay, well, here's the thing. When I was watching this, right in my brain, I was asking myself, would I watch this as a kid? And I thought, only if it's the lead-in. Like, this is a show that's like a lead-in to a show I really want to watch.
Right.
Like if I know Spider-Man's coming on next, I'll watch this shit just so I don't miss the start of Spider-Man. Because there's no DVR back then, so you have to watch. I was like... But I'm not, like, waking up 7:30 a.m. gotta catch Jason the Wheel Warriors. No, I'm not. I can't.
But you happen to roll out of bed a little bit early that morning, and you're just gonna suffer through it.
I'm just gonna suffer through it.
This is the show.
What else is on? Infomercials?
Yeah. This is like the show that you put on where you're just like, oh, I guess I'm gonna get some corn.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're like, I need background noise, so I'll put this on. No, I can't. Yeah. I can't recommend
five-year-old music. Gonna get some coffee.
Yeah, and I also want to say,
start that brew.
I also want to say, I'm happy that everyone like hated this. I'm not even lying. I was watching this and I was like, I didn't know if you guys were like, gonna be super pumped and happy about this. And I was
surprisingly,
like
we rarely are. It's very few and far between that we're super pumped.
We've had like 5 weeks of just like awesome cartoons that we've watched that
Nicktoons.
Were from like the Nicktoons age, and so. Like there's nothing that grounds you to reality quicker than watching Jason the fucking Wheel Warriors.
I'm not gonna lie, I was watching this and I was like, I'm gonna have to put on a happy face.
I would have loved to have had you show up.
If you
and
showed
you just
up
been, and you were just like, man, I fucking hate this show. Yeah. I'm like, guys, this was a great show.
And I would have been like,
right?
I would have been searching for something good to say. I would be like, quiet. Like, Jamal, you haven't spoken. I'm here. I'm participating.
No.
I'm a human. Breathe in air.
So I think it was like the first 5 minutes. I was like, oh, this is one of those. Huh?
Yeah.
Ooh.
An hour and a half of your life. Oh, you'll never get it back.
So yeah, I can't.
All right, fair enough. Tony, how about yourself?
Fuck no.
Okay. Succinct to the point. I like it.
I don't know how Jamal went through the whole diatribe leading up to. No, I can't honestly recommend. No, God, this was a steaming pile. I don't want to touch this series again. It was awful. I read enough about it to have, you know, a hint of a wonder of, well, how does this turn out? But you know, now I've heard it was just cut short after the 65 episode run, and you know, no, I'm done. That's
you know what this was. For
it
me?
Never goes anywhere.
You know what this was for me? This was like the beginning of Dragon Ball GT. That's what this was. And then I had to suffer through it to get to when he starts fighting the dragons. Yeah. Like, I had to suffer through this to get to good show.
I
So you think there's a good show somewhere buried?
Yeah, after the show goes off.
Yeah, whatever was on after the show.
I think because we alluded to the fact that there was a movie, and Straczynski says that what would have happened was that Saw Boss would have killed Jace's dad, and I was like, that's the fucking film I want to watch.
Yeah, they meet, they kind of like relay, that black and then Saw Boss takes him out.
Please tell me, so does he cut off Jace's hands, and then... Jace just, like, blubbering, cries, and then falls off.
That's impossible!
Research is black.
It turns out that Saw Boss is his dad.
Oh,
I wish that actually happened. That'd be
my
amazing.
Father!
Well, the fact that the father never really shows up after that, and, like, you don't really see where Saw Boss...
That feels plausible.
It's possible.
Did his dad have the same hairstyle and color?
A little bit, yeah. Well,
he did.
Jace, yeah.
But, yeah, but I mean, like, Saw Boss had, like, that, like, mutated nutsack on his...
I was going to go PG and keep a cabbage head, but no.
Yeah, we're explicit on iTunes.
It is a swollen, rancid nutsack.
Did you hear my review of the show?
Well, Sean, we got two no's. Do you recommend this one?
You know what? I will say it was fun. Like, owning several of the toys and having watched this on television, it was... It's always good to go back and kind of watch these things for me, and I was happy that I did it. I would definitely not recommend it. I will say, though, that my... I was surprised in the second episode that they made a C-3PO cameo, like, in a pile of heads. Mm. I don't know if you saw
that. I didn't see
that. Tony and I saw it. It was very... Un... looks over into a pile of like vases, and he sees a C-3PO head.
Oh, that must have been when I was looking away from the fucking screen, going back to my life for a second.
Yeah. But then I think Dave, one of my favorite quotes from this was Herc, and you and I had kind of talked about it prior to the show, but it was just him just going, "My vases!" Like, how?
And then he released!
And then he releases them. It was so bad. It was so bad.
It was pretty bad. I'm with you guys. I can't recommend this whole series, but I would say at least check out the first episode just to see what we're talking about, just to get an idea of the insanity that's on the show, and then kind of give up after that, because you really don't need to watch too much more. It's pretty nuts. I do want to say one final fact here. Since Sean told you about Straczynski's script for the movie that never actually made it into production, Straczynski actually had a tie to one of the other shows we talked about on this podcast. He developed a simple show called Spiral Zone.
Oh.
Yeah, but here's the good news. He left after one script when whatever his concept for the show was drastically altered, and it became what we covered on this show not too long ago, which was another steaming pile of mess. So, yeah. Spiral Zone is Straczynski. This poor guy. I hope he's doing better stuff these days. Spiral Zone and Jace is just not cutting it.
Yeah. I mean, oh god. Alright. Hey, David.
Pick it back up.
We'll go on a happier note. Hey bud, where can what are you up to? What are you doing on the internet?
Yeah, on the internet. Well, I don't know.
What are you doing on the internet?
Up to on the internet.
I mean, like, what's up with your webcam?
Rule 34.
What's up with your webcam?
Yeah. What's up with my webcam?
Yeah, what's up with your webcam?
Oh no.
Your sexy helmet webcam.
Sexyhelmet.com.
Once I have his body.
Thanks. Oh, so what am I actually doing?
What are you actually doing? What are you actually, like...
This is the longest lead into a plot.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm done. Hey, you guys can find me. I'm going to be doing shows with my improv troupe.
He's just bulldozing.
I don't give a shit. You can find me. I'll be doing improv in D.C. in the Adams Morgan area at a little place called DCAC or D.C. Arts Center. I'll be performing there tonight, which is February 14th at 7:30. We're doing our improvised TED Talks, and you can find and purchase tickets at witdc.org. Just fair warning, the last bunch of shows have been sold out, so they've been a lot of fun. And then February 20th, I'll be performing in San Diego for the San Diego Improv Festival. You can find more information and you can buy tickets. We'll be performing Friday night, February 20th at, I believe, 8:30. And you can find out more about the San Diego Improv Festival at sdimprovfestival.com.
Very nice. Now that Sean's done with that, I'll do the cordial thing and ask our guests if they have anything they'd like to let the listeners know about. So, Jamal, since this is your first time here, anything you'd like to plug in the upcoming
I do. For next Black time. History Month.
Tell us about the Blacklight.
I'm going to research that. February 27th at the DC Arts Center, performing improv with special guests. You may have seen him on The Wire as D'Angelo Barksdale, and in The Walking Dead as Bob Stuker, whatever, the guy who Stukes. Has a, Bob Stukes, who has a drinking problem. It's going to be Lawrence, wait, I forgot his name, hold on.
Yeah, Lawrence Gilliard.
Lawrence Gilliard is performing with a bunch of other colored folk who do improv in the vicinity. And we're going to be performing on 27th at 10 p.m. at the DC Arts Center. Tickets are available at februarybuddha.eventbrite.com. So come on out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tell tell Lawrence I said hi and I liked his work.
All right, I will.
I'll have no idea what I'm talking about.
He'll know. I'll just mention Jace.
Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, you can find me on social media at comicrelief.com. That's spelled CMICRELEAF 24/7.
Excellent.
At Sean's looking at me.
Like, I'm not
you're fucking up my plug here.
I'm not too kidding.
Also, Jamal Newman on Facebook. I check that never.
Tony, what about you, sir? Anything coming up?
So just lined the dates for 48 Hour Film Festival at the beginning of May. We'll be producing a short film that I'm hoping the two gentlemen here sitting along with me will be assisting with.
Oh, Sean said he's out this year.
What?
Sean said he's
breaking news on the podcast.
Jamal just made me cry a little bit for a moment. so we'll be doing that.
there it is. You found it.
That's what it is.
Until then, you can find some more stuff of ours on youtube.com/uglyhollywood. Jamal is actually our head writer, so he's involved in that as well. Check us out on for Crowded Elevator for other short films on Vimeo, vimeo.com/crowdedelevator.
Did you also have a YouTube account as well that you plugged last time?
Yeah, that was Ugly Hollywood. Yeah,
oh, okay.
youtube.com/uglyhollywood.
Excellent.
You can find me on social media. I'm on Twitter, BigTonyVT.
Awesome. Sean, where can folks find you on social media?
Find me at Sean Paul Ellis on Twitter and Instagram. And Dave, I'm gonna toss it back over to you. David, where can I find you and what are you up to these days?
Oh, hey, thanks for the toss. You can find me on Twitter at DrClawMD. You can also find me over at Collider.com where I review such shows as Gotham, The Flash, Arrow, Walking Dead, and Constantine for its last couple of episodes. So, yeah, that'll be good times. Come check out our redesign, actually, on the site. I like it quite a bit. We've also got a spinoff site. It's Collider.com/TV. Where all my recaps will appear, and a lot of other TV news and entertainment info over there, collider.com/TV. That's going to pretty much do it for us tonight. If you want to find out more about Saturday Morning Cartoons, you can head on over to our website, SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can head over to the Tumblr page that Sean is populating with all sorts of 80s and 90s cartoon craziness, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Send us a tweet on Twitter, at MorningTunes. Remember, that's morning with a U again. You can send us an email for show suggestions. Just drop a line and say hi. SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. You can also listen to us each and every week through iTunes and Stitcher. And just look for Saturday Morning Cartoons. Okay, so Sean mentioned this is going to be our fortnight of nights or our fortnightmare.
So this is your pick.
It is.
This is your
Could
pick.
Could be a bad one. I'll tell you what. I used to do this. article over at Collider that was. Revisiting older properties that Hollywood should like pick up and reboot and adapt. They missed a lot of stuff. There's a lot out there that could be kind of like a resurgence. A lot of people wanted to see this show rebooted. I don't know why. I guess maybe we'll find out next week. It's Visionaries, Knights of the Magical Light. I don't even know what to tell you with this one. There are knights that have sort of like holograms in their chest that can project things out of them. That's the most I can tell you.
That sounds amazingly terrible.
It sounds really bad, and I think it's going to be.
Guarantee it's
going
to be the worst.
Awful. So we'll find out.
I don't
next
know.
Week.
Did you watch what we saw this week?
I did. Unfortunately.
Can I say something also on the on the YouTube comments? There's a bunch of people saying, "Now these were the cartoons, man. These were the cartoons."
I know.
They're like, "Cartoons today suck." I was like, "Are you guys watching this shit or just typing comments?"
Oh, I love our listeners though. Feel free to leave comments anytime. We're doing it for you. We actually mentioned earlier that we watch these shows so you don't have to. But hey, man, yes. If you love it and you love reliving it with us, then you are more than welcome to join. Post comments and let us know. And please suggest some terrible shows in the future. We got a lot to get through, but we're always looking for more suggestions.
You can do good shows, too. You can,
I was talking about Jace, though, on the YouTube of Jace.
Oh, the Jace on Jace.
Those comments, they were like, oh, man, these are the cartoons, man.
These people love it. I love the one guy that's just like, I love this cartoon as a kid.
Like, wait a minute, so many ethnicities like that are going on right now. This is amazing.
I love this cartoon.
In Russia, we don't get cartoon except for Jason Wheel Warriors. I love.
Little strong message. Give to people of Russia.
I love this Herc character. He loved gold.
Just like me, my teeth.
Entire family killed by masterminds.
I love that Sean keeps calling them masterminds.
Masterminds, God. Damn it.
This entire time.
It's okay.
Boy.
We don't. No, it's not important.
No,
hey, David, I'm gonna put Jamal on the spot.
Ooh,
I
believe, he's got our outro tonight.
I believe Jamal had like a tidbit or like a food for thought moment about Jason the Wheel Warriors that he mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I wanted to get that nugget because he wouldn't share it with Tony and I.
Saturday morning cartoons, get that nugget.
That's get that game. Nugget with Jamal Newman.
The nugget Sean's referring to is that I said you shouldn't watch this show dehydrated. That's the nugget he's referring to. So just for everyone out there, just be liquidated.
Liquidated. Honestly, we need to take this out just like the cartoon would act. Can you just repeat that one more time? And let's just take this out just how the show went.
Okay. You're gonna watch this show. Don't be dehydrated.
Oh, Jamal. Oh, you.
Done.
Thanks for listening.